Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. And the pledge drive is over. And
yes, it is.
Thank you so much for all of your support. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. You just heard Chris Vandercook chiming in there. Nice to be on regularly scheduled as we had
promised.
I was
just thinking exactly the same thing, back to normal, whatever that may be.
Right. Well, we'll consider that in a second. Now, talking about science, though, isn't always easy, especially, it seems, for scientists. And that can often leave average citizens left out in grasping how energy policy is developing. It's not all how the science is communicated, though. With rapid change happening in energy technologies, sometimes it's just tough to keep up with emerging tech. Dr. David Berube notes all of that in his approach to science and technology communication. He's in Honolulu to tackle public engagement with energy policy and emerging tech, and he's in our studio this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very often people find themselves kind of feeling a little less able to understand what's happening because, A, it's happening fast, and, B, it's dealing with concepts that they may not be all that familiar with, and there seems to be this over-reliance on experts. I want to talk to you a little bit about that because it seems now that everybody is an expert in some way, and yet none are the expert in many of the things that a lot of people who would like to understand this really feel they can approach.
Yeah, you're generally correct. I mean, the biggest problem that we see in science and technology communication to the public is not only the jargon and conceptual problems, you know, where the terminology is obscure or the concepts are so unique and disjointed from what the audience may have learned in high school chemistry and biology that they're not able to associate quickly to what's happening, which is the other issue you brought up, is that often you have to respond quickly to what's happening and you don't have that wonderful comfort of time anymore. You know, decisions are made very quickly. Advances occur daily in some of these fields. And it's almost impossible for the experts to stay on top of what's going on. And to expect the public to be, to understand what is happening is a huge challenge for not just science and engineering, but the media community who is trying to, you know, do their best to try to make sure the public knows what's going on.
And often that becomes, political linchpins and not necessarily with a lot of understanding behind it either.
Yeah, there's a lot of screaming people at each other that takes place rather than good dialogues about, you know, how to involve and engage publics into the decision-making that takes place. Too much reliance on experts. They're easy to find. You can always find an expert by usually calling a university and you can pick up an expert, or calling industry and you can pick up another expert. And you can get them to disagree with each other quite easily. And that's usually what the public gets. They don't get any long-term, well-organized, concerted effort to educate them about science and technology and in the process make them able to, recode information or decode and re-engage information that they get from complicated sources, whether it's government or science and engineering.
Their lives are complicated, too, and trying to get through the screens of all the things that impact them most immediately is tough as well. How do you engage people at some level that brings them through a lot of that noise and a lot of the sort of infighting with experts and media preying upon that in some cases, so that people really do have at least a passing nod of what's happening and maybe engaging them a little bit more fully, although that's tough, too?
It is. You just hit onto a bunch of nice issues, one of which is often engagement in the public is intentional in terms of, by carefully selecting how you're communicating with them, you can actually discourage them from participating. It's an old game that's played in politics. When you go negative right before the election, so people who are undecided stay home. Right, there's these tricks that have been built in, and we all know what they are. But to get the public involved with any of these issues, you got to get them involved very early. They need to be involved early in the process. They need to believe that they're setting the ground rules for things. They also need to be convinced that if they're going to have input, that their input's going to be taken seriously. And that's a huge issue. We were talking about a Zika virus just recently. There's an open announcement through May 18th where the public needs to respond about whether genetically engineered mosquitoes will or will not be released in Key West. And it's very controversial. And most of the public, I think, is convinced that they can write letters, but this decision has already been made. And I think that's the real big problem. We have to get them out of that sense of cynicism. And the sense of cynicism is almost the inevitable consequence, not just of some errors in science and technology, but the whole political process, which has fed cynicism over the last few decades.
A lot of people have been fed a lot of messaging recently that says, you don't need to worry about this. It's going to be okay if this comes to the United States. And yet you look at the front page of the Advertiser this morning and a lot of discussion about the mosquitoes in Salt Lake. Is this really a situation where there is bad messaging coming about Zika, for example, or is this a matter of interpreting what's being said?
It's both. It's bad incomplete messaging that's taking place. The truth be told, we do not know what the effect of the Zika virus has on women who are pregnant in their first, second, or third trimester. We just don't know. We also don't know if there's going to be significant effects on folks who have been bitten by an aegypti and got Zika, and then years later discover that they have neurological diseases, like degeneration of their optic nerve, as an example. And microcephaly, which is the worst condition where you have very small craniums in children, we know very little about the field, period, because very little has been researched about microcephaly. All we know is people who tend to have it have developmental issues and tend to die rather young. But it's not like that population has been studied very carefully. It's like kids and drugs. You know, we talk about aspirin and everything and how, you know, you take it when you need it. You know, we've studied this stuff, but we've always studied it on adults. We've never really studied it on kids. And so the microcephalic population is just like that. We just don't know much about them. And so until we learn more, we should be prudent. And prudence says be very careful. Don't go where you don't need to go. Use a lot of repellent as much as possible. It's pretty much the game right now.
The issue with Zika is one particular and very important example as we are talking about messaging and understanding the communications between science and the rest of us and coming through the media. But if you had to give a little bit of advice to people who are listening, who are you know, trying to stay tuned in, and we know that our audience does, what would you tell them to do a little differently?
Well, depending where they live, I mean, first thing is mosquito-proof your environment as much as possible. Empty anything that has standing water in it. That's where mosquito larvae will
right, but I mean, terms of just in general, as they approach science and they hear, because we have a lot of discussions about science in terms of our own energy policy as we go forward and other parts of how Hawaii is going to develop. If you just had some way of being able to say, you know, how do you couch engagement in a way that captures the imagination a little bit differently than, oh, you need to be a good civic soldier and become involved in your community?
Well, I teach a continuing ed program off and on and get a lot of parents in it. And I always tell them the first thing to do is convince your children to, you know, take science and mathematics courses very seriously and make sure that they're prepared for the world that's going to be out there with them. The second is I always tell people become at least knowledgeable on something. You know, if you learn, for example, how nuclear power works and how it might have problems associated with its use, there might be a trickle effect to understanding a whole bunch of other areas. They might be in toxicology. They might be in geology. They could be in almost anything.
I wish we had much more time. Thank you, Dr. Berube.
Thank you very much.
David Berube is a research professor at North Carolina State University in Science and Technology Communication. He's the social science director of the Research Triangle Nanotechnology Network involving Duke and UNC Chapel Hill. He's in Honolulu to talk about emerging technologies, energy, and public engagement. He'll speak tonight at 5:30 on the HPU campus at Aloha Tower Marketplace.